can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 444. I'm Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Guess what, everybody? Give up? We stream this live at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Let me tell you about
it. Is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. On the show today, we had the Vortex and Circus Chicken Dog and their show, The Muttcracker. Sweet! And also, a little later, we'll be talking to Adrian Dawes, playwright extraordinaire. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Patika with a B. Don't go away. Okay, hold on. I got to figure out how this works. We're in a whole different zone of electronics here this time.
It's kind of exciting. We're very, very high tech.
We are very, very high tech. Well, we have the whole gang here together today. First of all, I want to say what a great show of Kim Simpson and the International Folk Bazaar. I don't know if you guys heard the Jose Feliciano version of one of the Christmas carols. I don't know. One of the ones.
He was jamming today.
He was jamming McGammon. So I apologize. My microphone can only go one thing, so I can't turn to you guys very well. I know. It's really, really bad. But I'm going to check in with the two Nicks. We have not been all together in a while.
I know. It's nice to be back.
The band is back together.
What's new? Tell us what's up.
I see on Nicole Shiro that she's got some armadillo Christmas bazaar stuff around her neck.
She does. She is an armadillo.
I'm an armadillo.
Christmas and she's bazaar.
I have been in love with an artist there for over 3 years, and I have been eyeing a piece of work, and I'm like, you need to save for this. I don't know if you should get it. I bit the bullet and bought myself a really beautiful piece of artwork this
Christmas.
Congratulations.
It was kind of very exciting. I haven't brought it home yet. She was like, can I leave it up? And I was like, So I'm going to go bring it home and put it up. And that's exciting.
That is exciting. Let's introduce the folks that are with us here. Mm-hmm. We are joined by Adrian Dawes. Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
It's so great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We have Darren Peterson. Hi, Darren.
Hi.
And Melissa Vogt.
Well, hello.
All veterans of Offstage and On the Air. Nobody's a newbie here.
I saw Melissa yesterday. She met my brother, Casey.
Yeah, there you go. We were getting bagels, and it was like, surprise.
Bagels.
Yes, good bagels.
Oh, yeah, they were really good.
So the song that we played coming in was from The Band's Visit, which...
Good musical.
Not only is a good musical, it will more than likely win the Tony.
I hope so.
When we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but the reason why I played it, did y'all see the article in the New York Times called Putting Out the Broadway Welcome Mat in Song?
Mm-hmm.
See?
So it's talking about how on Broadway we have a lot of shows that have welcome songs, the most famous probably Welcoming, which we're going to play. What, are you laughing at my pronunciation?
No, I was loving your play.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, that was witty.
So no, there
I
you
was
go.
Riding the train, the witty train with you. I was loving it.
Yay. Well, so this went on to several things. Oh, my phone is ringing, but who cares?
You know what? You kept it theater.
Yeah, it's
so
okay.
It's
I always leave it on. But they were talking about these shows that have...
I love that Nick went to answer the door.
He's so good. So these are shows, songs that welcome us. And the welcome song for The Band's Visit was called Welcome to Nowhere. That was Katrina Link singing that, who I just love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of just love everything about that show.
Yeah, yeah. And then
as much as I can without seeing it.
I saw again last week. I told you that I had seen. Has anybody We've already talked about it, but has anybody seen the...
Is it video?
No, what was... Oh, God, I just lost the name of it. Never mind, but have you seen it?
The movie?
Yes, and yeah. You loved it.
Indecent.
Oh, yes. Actually,
did you see it?
I never see it.
Did you see it live? Or did
I
you see
saw
the...
it live, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
New York, yeah.
What did you think of it live? Because
it was fantastic.
It was
blew my
amazing.
Mind.
Blew yeah. my mind. The director is just
incredible.
Incredible.
Did you watch
Rebecca
it again Teichman. On the
I watched
PBS?
It again. I had some people come over, okay. And I had a group of people watch it, and I was just... I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle watching this the second time. Mm. Oh, my God. It was better the second
yeah.
time. Very, very worth
Isn't
it.
Isn't that exciting when you see a piece that you're like, I don't know. I don't if I can hint like it just was so good and you don't want to ruin that and you see it again and it's even better and you get different stuff from it. That's
Remind
exciting.
Me, is that yeah. up for the award this year's award season?
It is.
That, oh, that's exciting.
No, last
no,
last
it was
year.
Last. Okay,
it, and it did
sweat,
not. It did not
sweat
win.
Indecent. Right. That.
But it did win best direction and best lighting design, and mm-hmm. I must say, deserved on both counts. Mm-hmm. And I did talk about this on the show before. The lighting design is a really good example. Of a really good lighting design that doesn't call attention to itself, mm-hmm. but really serves the piece. And so many lighting designers today really just call attention to themselves mm-hmm. and their lights. And I don't really care about their lights as long as it serves the piece. Mm-hmm. So some of the other welcome songs, which we'll hear, we're not going to hear all of these, but they had five examples. Come From Away, Welcome to the Rock, which we'll hear at the end. Something Rotten, Welcome to the Renaissance, mm-hmm. which just love. And they have lyrics, so we could all sing along if I'd made copies for everybody. Cabaret, of course, and it has welcome in, bienvenue, welcome. It says it right there in the paper. SpongeBob SquarePants, Bikini Bottom Day. So that's just sort of fun that they had these little welcome songs.
SpongeBob has some like. Rock stars writing
oh,
music.
Oh, big
stars.
Rock stars.
Oh, yeah. Very big rock stars. And
I'm excited to see it.
Me too.
You know, even though everybody said such great things, I'd be more excited to see it, but I still, no.
Did you see that cool interview like a month or two ago in the Times of the director about
Tina
when
Lindell?
Yeah, when they approached her to do it and she was like, no. And then they were like, look, we don't want it to be the cartoon and we want you to be off the wall. And she wrote, it was really interesting about her whole process and how she took this on and was like, okay, I like him, but I don't like him, but what do I, so I don't know.
There was my buddy choreographed it and it's, he recently.
What's your buddy's name?
Chris Gatelli.
Yes.
Wow.
Ooh.
It just like swallowed in the funniest way. Anyway, people were coming up to him
funny
and being like,
ha-ha.
Funny, like, ouch. but people were coming up to him and saying, like, really, Chris? Really, SpongeBob SquarePants? And now he's like, really, fools? Really? Yes. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Whoa. Amazing.
But it just goes to show you, like, be careful how you judge something.
Uh-huh.
So Donna Summer, the musical.
Oh, speaking of.
Everything.
Coming in earlier than expected.
I know.
Because they don't want to compete with Cher, the musical, which oddly enough has a very similar. So Donna Summer, the musical has three Donna Summers, a young, young, medium, and old. And let's see, the... Storm Lever plays Duckling Donna. Adrienne DeBose takes over as Disco Donna. And finally, LaChance is Diva Donna.
I do love me some LaChance, but so I do love the Disco Donna.
Yeah.
So she it's was over, a good Donna.
Oh, yeah.
So it's opening at Lunfontaine in April. It played at La Jolla Playhouse. And listen to this.
It's still playing till the 24th.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay. So listen to this review. This is just an awful review. But it just... anyway, so I'm just going to read it. And this was from Charles McNulty. I don't need this flimsy bio-musical, and neither do you. In a musical form not known for literary finesse, Summers lowers the bar. The lack of playwriting imagination is startling. If the program didn't state otherwise, I'd be sure the writing was outsourced to Wikipedia. Sweeney
wow.
Todd, it's not.
Oh.
Wow. That okay, is well, a scathing
okay, but
review.
I'm going to say Sweeney Hurts. Todd, it's not. Who would compare Donna Summer to Sweeney Todd?
And what a
like,
weird sentence.
So that's just... So right there makes me go, well, what did you expect like, it was going to
it
be?
It got some good reviews either, but usually a review like that would just...
Yeah.
kill you.
It's over.
But director Des Makanoff, so you can't really miss with him, and the choreographer is Sergio Trujillo. Trujillo.
I wish I had a camera today. You are on fire. You know why? Because you light up my life,
but,
Lisa.
I think this is... I did not realize that Donna Summer died of lung cancer.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
I did not remember that.
You know who wrote a lot of her hits, right? Play a little trivia here.
Mm-mm. No, anybody? Well, don't answer yet. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
You ready?
Nope.
Now Roger Lechique. Oh, freak out from Lechique.
Say the name.
Nile Rodgers.
Oh, I did. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He just toured recently with Duran Duran and slammed it, may
lovely.
I say.
Crushed it, as my girl, Rebel Wilson, would say in Pitch Perfect 3, coming out. I already have tickets for tomorrow night.
Oh, so I see, did you get your tickets? Because every time I see the
tomorrow night,
preview,
going.
I laugh.
So speaking of really sweet television shows and movies, does anybody watch This Is Us on TV?
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. If you don't watch it, it is the sweetest thing on television. Chrissy Metz plays one of the characters, and she is making her stage debut in Neil LaBute's Fat Pig.
When?
In Los Angeles in May. Hmm. May 23rd through June 24th at the Geffen Playhouse.
Interesting.
It sounds really... And he's made some changes to the script. And we had a lovely production of it here by... I think Jenny Lavery's company, in Theater on Block, I think, or Penfold. Forgive me, I don't. No, it was Penfold, I think.
I can't remember.
I don't remember, but it was a lovely production.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Did anybody else see it?
It was earlier this year. That's gonna drive.
But
me
Fat Pig is a great story. It tells of a large woman and a man that falls in love with her, and how poorly she's treated, and how he's embarrassed by her, and everything. And it deals a lot with fat shaming and body image and things like that. And it's a really positive, yet not a very happy play. But it's really great.
Though, on a happy note, the cast of This Is Us has been announced to come to Austin for South by Southwest.
Yeah, that's a very happy note.
I'm bringing it up. The
very happy
Austin
note.
People, the cast will be here. That's
so
my happy
over.
News.
So speaking of other really sweet news, I went to see... Lady Bird, the movie.
Oh.
Has anybody seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
it. No.
Very sweet. But the reason why I bring it up, you ask me what kind of theatrical reference is there to this, but there is this great scene. So it deals with a high school girl in her senior year. It's really a mother-daughter relationship story. But she's doing a show, and the theater director either got fired or left, and the coach had to step in. And the coach, on the first day of blocking rehearsal, he had the chalkboard out with the football symbols.
Uh-huh.
And awesome. There's a whole scene of him blocking like he's a football. You know,
I love
like,
that.
You're going to say your line, and you're going to charge in there and grab him. It's really, really cute.
And you tell me football has nothing to do with theater, and
I argue it does. I tried to find... I was hoping there'd be a clip online, but evidently only I cared about it.
Make a clip.
It was really good. So to make Miss Nicole Shiro's day, because I know she loves it, you know that Alice Cooper is doing...
Jesus Christ Superstar, live on Easter. Oh, yeah, he is. He's playing the King Herod.
Okay, quiet. And did you know that they announced who's playing Jesus?
That would be one John Legend.
John Legend. Isn't that a perfect?
Cool. That's really cool.
I think that's great. So yeah. I think they're just going to sort of little by little every week they're going to give us a new person.
Well, it's funny. I was talking about this Monday, and I guess really loud. I was in a room in a conversation. I'm like, listen, I don't care who else they cast, but it needs to be a really good Judas and it needs to be a really good Jesus. And someone walked in the room and goes, all I heard was we need a really good Jesus. And I was like, well, yes, that's what
so
I'm talking
fun.
About.
There you go.
Superstar. And I believe they granted me one.
Yeah, so, they did.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that was
your
for
Christmas
me.
Wish.
Looking forward to it. Who do you think is going to be Judas?
I don't know, but wouldn't it be great if it was Justin Timberlake? Oh!
Yes, that would be great. I'm
serious. I'm serious right now. Hold on. Let me call JT.
Well, speaking of your heartthrobs, you know, you have one of your heartthrobs is opening a musical film today.
Today.
So that's Barnum, the Greatest Showman on Earth.
Yes. So what did you think? Did you see the live commercial during the Christmas story?
Yes, and we're going to talk about that right now. But go ahead. What were you going to say about it?
No, I was asking, did you see the live? Why did you think? That's what I'm just
so
asking.
So let's talk about Christmas Story in general. Did anybody see Christmas Story live?
I did.
I waved my hand. Yeah. And I ordered Chinese.
That's lovely. Right. Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
And then watch A Christmas Story.
That sounds nice.
Is there a reference to Chinese food?
They all go get. Yeah.
I've never seen.
I did not order the Peking duck though. Yeah. We almost did, which is funny.
I've never been able to sit through the movie, and I now have not been able to sit through Christmas Story live. Oh my God!
Fair enough.
I did not like it. There was nothing good about it.
About the cast or the blocking or
everything.
The show itself.
There's not a thing I liked about it. Although I hear after Anna Gassner supposedly was wonderful.
But she rocked it. I'll tell you, Chris Diamantopoulos playing the dad. Mm-hmm. If people aren't calling him up right now, like, did you not watch the leg lamp number?
Yeah, I did. I did not see anything great about it. I'm sorry. There's nothing about that show.
I liked the stage version of the leg lamp better, but.
Appreciated about it
uh-huh.
was the
I love
endeavor.
It. You always have a positive spin on
was
everything.
The endeavor that they took for production elements. It was a feat.
Uh huh.
I don't necessarily. It made me dizzy. But it was a feat to have all those cameras on tracks and roll and go the way they did. Production on that must have been incredibly difficult.
My brother
and
made a comment that he normally can't sit, and he goes, I sat and watched like 40 minutes of this musical. I enjoyed it. They tried doing different camera angles. They tried fixing the things from the last musicals. And then he said to me, they actually cast some people who can sing. And I laughed because that is true. I thought it was the best musical we've had so far of the live musicals.
No, I love Sound of Music.
Oh God, no, that was painful.
I'm kidding. Anyway, so, but they did have the commercial for The Greatest Showman on Earth.
A live commercial.
I've been trying to be positive. And I will say
you don't have to be positive always.
Here are my thoughts on that. If you're going to do it well. I don't think they did. And it was counterproductive, and it actually had the reverse impact on me, which I love these. I love the live theater on TV thing because it gets people who I don't necessarily ever want to do it or really watch them. But I love that other people are getting exposure to the theater, and it's creating a conversation around the theater.
You will be watching Superstar, though.
Probably not. because it sounds miserable. But what happens is when The Greatest Showman on Earth comes on and does what they did, which was live, it furthers people, and they didn't sound good. Uh-huh. Keala Settle, who is an amazing vocalist, sounded bad, and they didn't tee them up to succeed. So therefore, what it does is it proves the naysayers right. Like, see, they don't really do it well. Well, they didn't really do it well, and it was unfortunate. I think it's missed opportunities. If you're going to do that, you need to do it well.
I agree. Actually, I couldn't have said better. Kudos to you.
Boo!
I still want to see it, though.
Me too.
Yeah, I hear that.
It didn't make me go, oh, no, I don't want to go to the movie. But it also didn't make me go, I have to go on Wednesday when it opens.
Right, it's kind of equalizes itself. Where it's like, it was offensive. It was bad.
It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it to be bad. I wanted it to be good.
I wanted them to do well, too, because when you do that live, it's exciting.
It was nice that they didn't cut at the end and you did get to see all of them like, oh, my God, we got through it.
It made me think that they need exercises
that was kind of nice.
That they didn't have awareness, that they were happy with that. I thought it was
actually
weird.
I had the same reaction. So at the end of this commercial, the live commercial, they didn't cut away immediately with the button. They got everybody's reaction, and somebody actually said, oh my God, we did it.
Yeah.
And
they must
have had
the even worse rehearsal.
I know. And it was like, imagine? My God, they must have really thought it must have been really bad before.
It was
this
paranoia, like wave of relief over all of them. It wasn't like that was great. It was like, oh my God, it's over.
We didn't catch on fire. Yeah. Winning.
But once again, it was an incredibly huge endeavor to get all those people. And once again, from a technical standpoint, the placement of the cameras and execution from a production side, yeah. is impressive. I just wish that they sounded better.
Right. And I'll tell you, from my standpoint, I'm probably a minority of most people of the target audience, but I want to see something that looks more theatrical. So what they are trying to do is make a film version of the musical done live.
Yes.
And I kind of like that. And the one thing that Sound of Music did, which, mm-hmm. even though we all agree it wasn't very good, but it was very theatrical. It stayed within a certain confines of a set for the most part. And so I kind of like the theatricalness of that versus the, I'm going to make a movie, we're just going to do it live.
I have, yes.
But I do appreciate the technical.
Totally, totally. And my thing about it always is I think that theater people are the most amazing people ever in spin. And
that's true.
You know, musical true. Theater actors and who can let them sing, let them sound, let people do what they do well, get out of their way. And a lot of ways, like the pyrotechnics and all of this silliness and swooping camera angles and like, is like, let TV be TV, let film be film. I'm glad that we're having a conversation about theater and it's yeah. giving theater artists more work and people are having conversations about it. But I'm like, put talented people in a room and turn on a light and let them go. Like, it's talent
True.
Is talent.
And if you take the video of Indecent, which was just, it was a three or four camera shoot of Indecent, wow. done really, really well, and you really felt enveloped in this theatrical piece. But I do think it's maybe two different things.
They are two different things, and it's now becoming a new art form. I mean, I always use this as a reference. That wonderful video, the videoed productions of Into the Woods and Sunday in the Park with mm-hmm. George, which are taken during, you know, and I think it's, what's his name? Lonnie Price, who always does those
yeah.
Beautifully. He also did South Pacific, that, you know, that where it's just like, put some cameras in the audience, put a couple cameras, have different angles, edit it together, and see that live experience. That's a live experience.
And that's
to
what's
me.
Wonderful about Broadway HD. So there's
yeah,
a relatively new
it.
Company that's doing that. They are the ones that are shooting these things. And one of the criticisms I heard from one of the podcasts I listened to with respect to Indecent. So Indecent uses super titles on the back. That's really mm-hmm. necessary for you to read. And these people that reviewed the video HD, so that whenever we needed to read it, the camera would just pull back so we could see it, which I thought was mm-hmm. great. They didn't like that. They thought it should have lower thirds. So, like,
oh well.
Really?
And I think they're absolutely wrong, because that would have taken away from the theatrical.
Yeah. I agree.
That changes the show. That's not the same show.
But you know, like exactly. whether it's Indecent or we watched Holiday Inn the other day, which was a joy.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you just put the cameras up in the theater and the sound of the audience, you feel like you're a part of it. As long as we're paying our actors and our crew for that,
yep.
Which I know we do.
We do.
And I'm proud that we do compensate them generously for that performance being broadcast throughout the country into people's living rooms. I like that. My personal opinion is I enjoy those far more than these live staged on a sound lot at the Warner Brothers or at Fox.
I just think they're two totally different things.
I know.
The things that are on TV to me are like watching Easter Parade and old movie musicals. They're just live old movie musicals.
So
I don't look at them as, like, that Christmas Story, I've seen it live on stage. I didn't expect to see the same thing that I saw as the musical that I did as the
musical. Like I said,
it's
so my preference. And they're both, people like whatever they like. My personal, I like the energy of an audience and that art form. This is for me.
Speaking of Christmas Story, the musical,
yeah.
It's coming to Long Center on the 29th, I believe, and we mm-hmm. may have them on the show next week, so we can get a little taste of that. Sticking with this whole Christmas thing, I sort of have to sort of bend with offstage and on-the-air tradition, so please bear with me.
12 days to Christmas, 12 days to Christmas, plenty of time to do my Christmas shopping. These are the people of shopping time, plenty of time. These are the people with time to spare who shop at our convenience. 12 days to Christmas, 12 days to Christmas. Look at the way we do our Christmas shopping. Maybe the shopping is still remain calm and sedate. These are the people we envy and the people that we hate.
There you go.
I have to tell you, when you were talking about all your welcome songs earlier, I almost looked at you and went, lady, I did not get my 12 Days to Christmas season. I was over here silently like, so OMG.
I thought about it this morning.
We stick with tradition. So we're going to take a little break.
That's another musical you can watch on your Broadway HD.
That's true.
And see some 12 Days to Christmas.
And I have. So we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and talk to the Muttcracker.
Sweet.
We'll be right back. And welcome.
Willkommen, bienvenue.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa Sheps, and you...
Nick Square!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. We have been visiting with Adrian Dawes, Darren Peterson, and Melissa Vogt. Now we're just going to switch gears and talk directly to Darren and Melissa about the show that's happened, The Vortex, as a production of The Vortex and Circus Chicken Dog Productions, The Muttcracker.
Sweet!
So, Darren, this is, I think, 7 years you've been doing it at The Vortex, right?
Right.
And you've been on our show at least 4 or 5 times.
Correct.
So tell people what this show is all about. And try to get a little closer to that microphone, please.
This was my dream of juggling together with dog tricks and telling a story, visiting the land of circus instead of the land of sweets like in the ballet, and instead of having just dancing, which, you know, I still want to have, and we do have a few awesome dance numbers in this show. But circus, visiting the world of the circus, and dog tricks, juggling, those are the things I really love, some balancing acts, and I brought a guy in from France that's been headlining a lot of juggling festivals. He's a hotshot juggler and a free spirit. He didn't put his bio together, so I got to say whatever I wanted about him. And but he comes in and he's got about 5 or 7 minutes of material that he does in the show. The whole show is an hour, so everything we talk about happens in about an hour.
And there's a lot of stuff there. You plus have 5 dogs that are in your show?
5 dogs, Scarlet McCall. Apparently,
Scarlet McCall, by the way, is not a dog, right?
No, it's a very large parrot.
It's a parrot.
And
scurry.
Not a single it, a parrot.
Apparently, we figured out a way to have her out the entire show.
Oh.
And so as the actors are singing and talking, she mimics them throughout the whole show.
As we know, actors love.
They do.
So there's nothing worse than having a parrot literally chewing the scenery behind you while you're trying to do something.
So I want to encourage people to go to vortexrep.org and see the write-up of the 5 dogs and the parrot. It's very clever and fun. It's fun. It's just a fun read.
They've got really great stories for their bios, and
I
put together
now,
you know, how they came to me.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and they're all rescue dogs. And is the parrot a rescue parrot?
No, that was before I became enlightened.
I see. And Melissa, you are in it, and you also are credited as script writer. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Basically, a couple of years ago, Darren was like, you know, we've been doing this thing, and maybe it's time that we actually wrote a script for it. Go figure. And so I was like, wow, yeah, let's take some of the elements of the Nutcracker story and kind of weave them in to this through line of this crazy dog adventure.
And so you have there's a little narrative here.
Oh, there's some narrative there. There's
awesome.
There's an actual journey. Clara Marie kind of has a problem at the beginning of the show and then magically travels to the land of Doglandia following her friend Trudy Ballerina, who is her doll that came to life, along with Squirrel the dog, who is also turned human in a crazy turn of events. As they're running away, she's trying to get them back, to come back home.
Oh, sounds like a lot of fun. Before Nick speaks,
Nick is dying to speak, but
we have to take a quick tangent here. During the break, I asked Darren to pick a number between 1 and 54. Don't choose 27, 37, or 3. What did you choose?
I chose 36.
Let's see what 36 is.
Hi, I'm Billy Stritch, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
A nice short one.
That was a good one.
That was a Billy Stritch shorty straight one.
All right, this rarely happens to me, but I am a little speechless because this looks so good. It seems like so much fun. I have a big, huge now talent crush on you, because this is super exciting. I was just on the website getting a little bit more information. This is really special.
I wish the camera had been flashing on Nick the whole time this interview was going on.
I mean,
on
what
the
a wonderful
excitement.
What a wonderful life with all these dogs. Tell me about the process of getting them to do all you want to do.
That doesn't happen. But
you have some help from your brother, correct?
And yes, my brother has Down syndrome, and he came to live with me a few years ago. The show got a lot better once he showed up and could comfort the dogs backstage so that they weren't barking the whole time wanting to do stuff. They would want to hang out with him.
And what's your brother's name?
James Peterson.
Shout out to James Peterson.
Shout out James.
And let's see. So I use a method of training called free shaping, which basically only encourages them to do the things that they're already doing. So I set a period of time aside where they know that, you know, if I click this clicker, they'll get a treat. And we work for about 3 minutes at a time because it is kind of stressful to be really thinking and figuring things out. And so it's just like, if you get a dolphin in a pool, he'll turn his head one way, you click and treat, and then he gets used to that and then gets a little bit frustrated if you don't click and give him a treat. So then he goes a little bit farther, and that's how you get him to go all the way around the pool. So
so you won't say this about yourself, but I want to brag on you, that you've been featured nationally on David Letterman, Pet Star, and Donnie and Marie. So this is an exciting opportunity that you. I'm going to see you very soon because I'm coming to see this. I'm so excited I can hardly stand it. But that's pretty amazing. Those are some pretty impressive credits.
Yeah, it's TV. they want to see dog tricks do stuff.
Well, we're all very excited. So again, this is the seventh year of the Vortex. Melissa or Darren, what's different this year from last year? Anything?
Well, Etienne, the juggler from France.
Etienne, the juggler from France?
From France.
That's the way we say it.
Yes. And honestly, the script Melissa put together last year was so incredibly good that we kept a lot of that. And we've got an amazing director that is telling us how to make things even better. And
who is the director?
The director is Anna Isley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is incredible. And yeah, so we did keep the basic shape, but since we are adding like new people in, it's just intrinsically different. So people shifted around, the narrator's different. The whole narration arc is entirely changed. And we've added shadow puppets this year, which the shadow puppet kind of transitioning into like the different scenes. It just adds this extra layer of, wow, it's just
has
wonderful.
A little vaudeville themed so cool. feel to it. It has a sort of vaudevillian quality to it.
Yeah,
the way you're describing it.
Older people love coming to the show because you know it is the old days of vaudeville.
Yeah, and, I love that.
You know, and then the kids, like it's all to entertain kids, but like we've got world class talent to impress the adults. And I've been showing the shadow puppet videos, which I have pretty exclusive access to some of my friends. And they're like, you know, like, why don't you do just a shadow puppet show? And yeah, the shadow puppets are incredible.
It sounds like a lot of fun. And again, this is all ages. Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to see dogs. We're going to see jugglers.
Parrots.
Juggling, unicycling,
fire eating,
rollabola.
French people.
Wait, what was that last thing? Rollabola?
Rollabola. That's a circus balancing act. And the dogs are involved in all of these things. Diablo, my French buddy, Etienne, does four Diablos at one time.
That means devil.
Yeah, right. Yeah, blue.
Four devils, you devil.
It's very hot.
So you guys are opening when?
We actually open tomorrow.
We open tomorrow, Thursday.
And there are 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. shows on all of the show days.
Awesome.
Except for the closing day, which is Sunday, January 7th. It's only a 4:30 show.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you're playing at the Vortex. You're inside the Vortex?
We are.
That sounds like something that could spill out into the outdoor deck area as well. Just
well,
saying.
We get a lot of first-time people coming to the Vortex for this show, and they're like, oh, is it on this outdoor stage? We're like, no, it's inside the theater.
It could spill out. I'm just saying, you could open that big garage door and do
there
something fun.
There you go. Fun. Circus everywhere.
Circus everywhere. Well, we're so glad to have you guys on. Hopefully you guys can stick around and we can learn a little bit more about you backstage.
All right. Can't wait.
Awesome. That is Darren Peterson and Melissa Vogt. They're with Vortex Rep and Circus Chicken Dog Productions of the Muttcracker.
Sweet!
They're playing at the Vortex Theater December 21st through January 7th. For more information, vortexrep.org. And I didn't play what I always play off. I usually play the Nutcracker Sweet Dog scenario. I'm not doing that this time.
Oh my God. I forgot to mention the piano score is just off the... Oh, yeah.
Who did the score?
Tyler Mabry.
Tyler Mabry, that's right. Okay, well, good. Well, let's... This is not the dog's barking Nutcracker.
Get a dog. A dog won't care if you...
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on here locally, other than the things that we're talking about. Of course, the Muttcracker.
Sweet!
I don't know. The Muttcracker.
Sweet!
Is just fun to say because it's group and, and it promotes the Nutcracker.
Because it's sweet.
The Muttcracker.
Sweet!
Sorry. I don't have anything specific for local, except I do want to mention again, I mentioned it last week, Christmas Carol Karaoke. At Ground Floor Theater is sort of fun. That's a Rude Mex production.
Cool.
And it's a lot of fun. And so the audience actually... Has anybody been or seen it?
No, heard about it.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. Amazing. So they do. So you have earphones and you sing, you speak along, and the audience is the actual actors. But the funnest thing that they do singing, Christmas carols, mm-hmm. and specifically one of them is the Carol of the Bells. And you text and they send to your personal phone a part. So everybody has their different part and they go 1, 2, 3
song.
Plus play and everybody sings and it amazingly works.
That's so cool.
Wow. It's pretty incredible. So that's
songs
that.
Songs that have parts make me excited. My mom used to teach us a whole bunch of songs as we were kids. We all had parts. I mean, I get it in hindsight now. It was just shush us up and spare the time. But boy, I love them. They make me high.
I like Row, Row, Row Your Boat. So anything else? Anybody else want to talk about anything local? You got anything else happening at the Vortex?
Coming up in January, we're bringing Isaac Gomez and Karen Rodriguez in from Chicago to do The Way She Spoke, a docu-mythologia.
Awesome, yeah. Ooh, so they should check that out at vortexrep.org.
Right. Long Center doing a Christmas story tour. Story the Musical.
Yep, and we may have them on next week.
I want to give a shout out to my Jess. She's in Austin Playhouse right now doing Miss Bennett, Christmas at Pemberley.
We had them on 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it's still running until the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And is Christmas Carol still going at Zach?
Christmas Carol and Tuna Christmas run through Zach through December 31st.
Cool.
It's a lot of
holidays. Adrian, you have anything you want?
Come learn to juggle.
Not living in Austin right now, so I don't have.
So you don't know.
I don't know.
We're going to learn
all
more.
All these things for her to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just jump right into Today in Theater History. Speaking of indecent, in 1922, somebody named Morris Karnofsky made his New York debut in Shalom Ash's The God of Vengeance.
We call him Maury.
We do call him Maury. And of course, it had the well-known people, Sam Jaffe, Lillian Teitz, and Rudolf Schildkraut, who also directed it.
He's Rudy.
Who is we call Rudy. You're on fire. And again, the God of Vengeance is this. Indecent is the story of bringing God of Vengeance in. Very, very interesting.
What year was that?
1922.
That is interesting.
6 years later, 1928, Ethel Barrymore gets her theater named for her.
Aww.
I thought it was a lot later. That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. 1951, somebody named Laurence Olivier and someone else named Vivian Lee did Antony and Cleopatra at the Ziegfeld Theater.
Are they any good?
Mediocre.
Mediocre. Here, raise your hand if you have Laurence Olivier's autograph directly to you.
What?
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
1972, they opened Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys with Jack Albertson and Sam Levine. Mm. I love The Sunshine Boys. They made a great movie of that as well with...
what's his name?
Walter Matthau
and Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
I was trying to say Jack and couldn't think of the darn last name. Thank you.
This was also the opening of Dreamgirls.
We are Dreamgirls.
Sorry.
I'm not. You happy? You're not going. I'm not going.
I'm telling you.
In 2015, Danny Burstein followed in the footsteps of 1-0 Mostel, 1 Herschel Bernardi, Topol, and Alfred Molina.
That's exciting.
In the redo, the redux of Fiddler on the Roof, which I saw. It was wonderful. Birthdays, Irene Dunn, 1898. George Roy Hill, 1921. And John Spencer, 1946.
That's a short birthday list today.
I know, and I did. I go onto my Facebook friends list to see who
who's
locally
local?
Because I got a lot of theater local people, but nobody's had their birthday today.
Because they're saving it
for Christmas.
They're saving it up. Okay, so we're gonna hear another song, a welcoming song. This time from one SpongeBob SquarePants. We'll be right back.
Bikini Bob. And who's the lucky sponge in the mirror?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. This streams live at KOOP.org. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by...
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. We've been talking to Darren Peterson and Melissa Vogt. Now we're going to switch gears and speak to Adrian Dawes.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back in many ways. Welcome back to the show.
Yes.
And welcome back to Austin, because you're not here right now.
No, I'm not.
you're a hologram. You miss it?
I missed it.
Why?
Yeah.
Are you somewhere? Are you like in Oklahoma or something?
Am I like in Oklahoma? Yes, I am. I'm living in Tulsa, downtown Tulsa.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
There's
real.
No Hugh Jackman there either.
There is the Hansons, though. I live right by their recording studio.
Oom-bop, bibbidi-bop, ba-oom-bop, titty-top, ba-oom-bop, titty-top, ba-oom-bop.
Yeah.
Okay. We've never heard of them.
Never heard of them. So can you guess the name of their beer?
Mbop.
Mbop.
Mhops.
Oh! Mhop. Mhop.
Yum.
They can pass later.
Who knew? Yeah. Who knew they were from Oklahoma?
Can I ask, what did you do?
To deserve Oklahoma. I am a fellow in the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, which
amazing.
Is a program. It's in its second year, and I'm part of the first class of writers, one of only a few people there. And your housing's paid for. This foundation gives you time and space to make your art. So there's visual artists and writers from all over the country living
in
Tulsa.
And so what can you tell us of the piece that you're working on while you're there?
Yeah, well, I'm working on a lot of different things, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm primarily a playwright, but I'm also interested in writing for TV and film. So this year I wrote a pilot just for fun, just to see what that would be
me?
Like. No.
So you could really be anywhere.
Tulsa
is just, that's a wonderful, that sounds like a really wonderful program.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's all consuming.
There's not a lot like them. Yeah. I mean, I think the challenges are, of course, there's not really a theater scene anything like Austin.
Right.
So a lot of it is me writing stuff there and then coming back home. And here I have so many actors, so many different people that I can work with.
And you're part of,
knock over on the Hansons and ask if they want to play.
They want to collaborate on a musical.
Yeah,
all you have to do is walk over their house and just bop, bop, bop on their door.
Yeah, I know.
That's super exciting. Yeah. I'm also impressed that is the fellowship out of Tulsa?
Yeah, so
that's impressive.
George
that's really
Kaiser
cool.
has a
of
bunch
the Kaiser
of money.
Foundation.
Of the Kaiser Foundation. Mm-hmm. Is a big supporter of the arts and rather like he's putting all of his billions of dollars back into Tulsa. So social services, arts,
beautiful,
everything. He wants to make Tulsa the destination.
And this, the having playwrights and other artists come in for fellowships and in services is gaining momentum a lot. So it's happening actually a lot of places. We're talking about having some of those happen here in Austin as well. So I think it's a really great opportunity, not only for the artists, but for the community that surrounds that physical area to really get some landmark, groundbreaking art. It's not only theater, but I'm assuming visual arts and
visual
dance.
Visual art,
and
yeah. Yeah,
agreed. Absolutely. Beautiful. I agree. It's so symbiotically, it serves both the community and the artists themselves.
I wish we had more of that here. That would be incredible.
Stand by. It's going to happen.
How much longer are you in this fellowship?
I just finished my first year, so I have another year, and then we can stay a third year if we choose.
Do you have is there a theater space for you to work out of?
Not really. I'm doing the job of like, you're brand new in a city and you have to meet everyone and what are the companies and who are the actors. So I'm kind of in the process of that. And I sit down and have meetings with people, try to see as many shows as possible. But I have a rehearsal space that I can use fairly easily, which, you know, living here is so hard to do. I have free rehearsal space anytime.
Wow.
And I can print my scripts for free anytime. Those are great resources to have just at my hand. So yeah, I think hopefully in the future I'm going to try to put up a musical that I did here called Love Me Tender, do a version of that for like their summer stage program. So we'll see.
Cool. So most of your pieces, if not all, have a social conscience and a social message that goes along. So your TV pilot, which isn't about me,
I can write one about it.
Would you?
Sure. Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of the?
Yeah, it's called Monogamish, and it is about a diverse group of people living in Chicago, all in a co-op, and this one couple has recently gotten married and decided like a week later to open up their marriage, and how that changes sort of the relationships and romantic relationships within this household. So that's
I think that's great. Actually, I was just listening to, and you say monogamish, and that's that phrase coined by
Dan Savage.
Dan
right?
Savage. Yeah. And I was listening to his podcast yesterday talking about right now, people that are in relationships that aren't specifically two people in a monogamous relationship, you get shamed by it. It's frowned upon, even though there are poly families, there are open relationships that are loving and caring,
and throuples,
and everything.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because these are the kinds of things that we need to show that there's more than one way to have a family relationship, and they all have validity, and they don't necessarily you shouldn't shame them.
Yeah.
You mean there's more than one way to love?
There is.
Where have I been all this time?
In all of these cases, it's like, why do we care what somebody else is doing?
Just
focus on me.
Exactly. Well, no, focus on me.
Lisa specifically.
That's a really exciting thing, and
I've never written for a TV. I mean, that's just something I wanted to try, and I had the time and space to do that. But then I'm also writing plays around that all the time.
Right now, I know that you're here. You've got a workshop of your show Costa, which is happening.
Yeah,
don't try to go because there's
too
no
late.
Room for anybody else.
Yeah, nope. Sorry.
But so this
I'm
is
here
through
to tell you about
Vanguard.
A thing you cannot come see.
But it doesn't matter. So what's great is that. That one of the things, so you are nationally known playwright. And you have some, you know, major incredible awards here, Austin, theater critics, Biden Payne, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's great that you're doing that work. And then you're coming in, SVT, Salvage Vanguard Theater, which lost their home, still is a thriving maker of art. And this goes to show that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited to be here. And Jenny Larson's back in town from Vancouver. She's up there getting her MFA and directing. Graham Reynolds is our composer. So it's just really nice homecoming. We get to all be in the room together after months of emails. It's just nice to be in
the room. So I know we can't go see it, but maybe we'll get to see it sometime. sometime. Yeah. What is Costa about? It's about the artist, correct?
It is about 18th century
you
Mexico.
To ask that, Lisa.
Yeah, just accept it because you can't come see it. We're just going to hang out and watch Netflix.
Can we put that on TV?
Costa paintings are a form of portraiture from 18th century Latin America, and they depict different interracial families as designed in this hierarchy by the Spanish elite. Everyone with me? Mm-hmm. Cool. So there's 16 portraits, a mother, a father, and a child, and then the racial category that has been designated for them. And as you can imagine, at that time and place, and with, again, the Spanish being in charge of how this is designed, European white people are at the top of the scale, and yep. African indigenous people are at the bottom of that. And I came across these paintings because I thought they were beautiful, and I didn't know the history. I didn't know what they meant. I just was like, wow, it's not a religious figure or a noble person. What does this mean? What are they about? So my play is following a Costa painter and kind of trying to ask these questions, but like, what are these paintings? They only existed for about 100 years and in history. And who made them? Who asked for these paintings? Were they really painting real people? What are the ways that we talk about race and specifically mixed race identity now? How does that relate to, you know, so many years ago in this very specific time and place? So
that's awesome.
This is
yeah,
so
it's really
exciting.
Fun. It's totally different. I've never written anything like this
that's
before.
That's so exciting on so many different levels. I was just having someone to me the other day was like, I don't like going and looking at art. And I'm like, art opens so many conversations. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than being a collector or going to a museum. And
there's
you're
so
the
much
perfect
story
example
and
of being like yeah. excited about a piece of art. And yes, I'm the same way. I like what you like with art, but like, then the history and then now creating this piece and the thank you. That just yeah. excited, that got me excited for the conversation.
You definitely
we were
Google
having,
it. A
so.
Lot of people don't know what these paintings look like. And there's hundreds of them created. So they were super popular at the time. I think because in Spain it was like, oh, look at the New World, all this exotic luxury and these different people. And I mean, still placing themselves at the top of that hierarchy. But it's just really, really fascinating. So it's a fun sort of history. Like the nerd in me loves yep. to do the research and dramaturgy cool. and all that. And then the more present you're in the room with, you know, we have a puppet designer, Julia Smith, is with us. We have ensemble members. We have translation from Jesus Valles in the room. Like, we're playing with all of these different
it's
things.
So cool.
Right now, it's fun because it can be anything. In fall 2019, we'll see what the final things stick
awesome.
From this.
But we look forward to it. Hopefully, you'll
yeah,
bring it back here.
I hope so.
We are plumb out of time. I know you have a website. What's that website so
yeah,
people can see your work?
I would say salvagevanguard.org is a great place to start to find out about
right.
me.
But you also have
adriandawes.net. Yeah.
So adriandawes.com. I'm not going to try to
nope,
spell
it. No, don't spell
up.
It.
It'll fix it. So we just need to do this real quick. We're getting so much closer to Christmas. It's just a few days away.
One day to Christmas, not enough time to do our Christmas shopping. Where are the shop with the design? Where are the sheep with the pumpkin sign? Where are the people who shop the time? Shop the time, not enough time. We are the people who always wait until it's much too late. Oh, one day to Christmas, how will we ever do our Christmas shopping? Why do we ever delay so long? Who can recall? Some of the family may not get a Christmas gift at all.
We are just so close
and
to Christmas.
And pandemonium breaks loose.
Anyway, so this is it before Christmas. So we know that that Nicole is doing the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh,
I she
am
does every
on
year,
that
and that's
Christmas-y.
that's a big eating extravaganza.
It is.
And Nick, what are you doing for Christmas?
I'll be in my Christmas pajamas with my mom. My husband in San Antonio.
In San Antonio. San Antonio, Minnesota.
Yeah, San Antonio, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
So, I'm going to be at the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And then, of course, many people are going to go see the Muttcracker.
Sweet!
I just had to do that.
Sense of power.
I know. Just as a final, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Not bad for this Jewish girl, right?
No.
Over Christmas. And I should note, Hanukkah is over as of last night, but I am wearing my Hanukkah top that Miss Nicole Shiro gave me just to prove
my life, Lisa.
That I am Jewish, if not Jewish. That's it.
I love you so much.
So, everybody... Backstage at Offstage is next if you're listening to us on the podcast, and you should be, shouldn't you?
You should.
Yep. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that stuff.
Best way, just go to offstageonair.com and enter a little email in the little box to the right, click send, and
great stories I want to tell.
Well, we will hear those coming up next. But if you're listening to us on the FM, the terrestrial radio on KOP 91.7 FM, Austin Monitor News is next. And we're going to come back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And our final welcome song is from, oh my God, I can't see. It's Welcome to the Rock, which is from Come From Away. We'll see y'all next week, everybody.
Welcome to the rock if you come from away. Huh? You probably understand about a half of what we say. Yeah. They say no man's an island, but an island makes a man.
Especially when one comes from one like Newfoundland. Welcome to the rock.
The curtain has just come down on Parking Past the Musical. The story of a hapless young Austinite searching 6th Street District for a parking place on a Friday night at 10:30.
Yay, bicycling.
That's a good one. Yeah. What a comedy.
Joko. Welcome to Backstage. We have the show has come down. We've gone out the backstage door. We're down the stairs, standing next to dumpsters with our feet in some unnamed liquid.
Smoking, drinking.
And here we have Darren Peterson has joined us back here.
It's all sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Dawes.
Hello.
Okay, now I was going to do it again.
Why not? Do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Do it.
Why not?
Do it.
It's about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Something of which I know nothing about. But I will say,
liar.
We don't talk politics on this, but those mother hosiers passed the tax bill today.
I didn't open up the news.
If you just ignore all of that stuff, it doesn't affect you.
Wow.
Just so, live in a bubble.
So let's. I have not been backstage with either of you. I don't think. Have I?
I think so.
Have
yeah.
I been backstage with you?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like you've only.
Been
I know you've been backstage, but I didn't know whether I was there. Okay.
I think so.
All right, well, then never
mind. I was too quiet before, so that's why you don't remember. That's not going to happen this time. Go ahead, try to talk.
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not. Sorry.
He's on fire.
I'm sorry.
You thought it was me.
It's true. We're all on fire. So both of you are native Austinites, yes?
Yeah. I was born here.
You're like unicorns.
I was born in Corsicana. However, we moved when I was one.
Okay. What high schools did we go to?
Well, I left out the part where my father got a job for NASA for the moon landing when I was like 6 months old.
Is your father Neil Armstrong?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe he was.
I wish. Oh, how cool would that be?
Lisa and I are going to go to space camp. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you lived in like the Clear Lake area down there where NASA is?
Yeah, we were in LaPorte. You know, drove. I have early memories of driving over this big arching bridge. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was really cool.
The BAB.
I would think we were going to fly up into the sky. I had dreams of, you know, flying, taking off from there.
Wow. And so what high school here?
Huntington, Surrey.
I don't know that one.
Which is like Griffin.
Oh.
Actually, Griffin came out of Huntington, Surrey. Yeah, not a lot of people know about it.
Now, did they have a theater department at that high school? And were you part of it?
No, not really. But Joy Cunningham, who is really well known in Austin community, has been here forever, was my teacher. Sean Sides was like a substitute theater teacher.
Uh-huh.
So I met like two Austin theater legends at a very young age. And Vicky Boone doing Frontera. Like, I met a bunch of people at a very young age.
Cool, cool. Yeah. And Darren, have you done theater? Theater?
No.
Or just theater.
I was in two melodramas in Victoria as the humorous sidekick. And I was so unconscious at that point. Like, I was on my knees, and I was told to, you know, put my nose to the ground and say, you know, like something smelled bad. And, like, I remember during one of the rehearsals, the director goes, you know, your reaction isn't right. Do you have any idea what you're smelling? And I was like, no, why am I doing this? And like, I was supposed to be smelling poop or something. And
aren't we all? Aren't we all? That's the story of our life. But you teach juggling, yes? Yes, did I hear? Did this is a new piece of information for me. So you are a teacher of juggling and circus arts?
I am always willing to teach anybody to juggle. There's a great juggling club at UT that meets on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Just off of UT campus, they have their own parking lot, so there's easy parking.
They have their own parking
that
lot.
Is a lot.
Like there are
real estate.
There are three world record holder jugglers that go there regularly. Like between the three of them, they have like 1,000 world records of juggling. Oh. And yeah, it's just, you know, but there are rank beginners that come week after week, you know, for they've been coming for years and just enjoy the process and the camaraderie of the people. And, you know, they're, you know, just barely able to pass. But it's just a really super fun thing to do.
And by pass, you mean passing balls or clubs to one another?
Yes.
Yes. Not, they're not passing as a juggler.
Right. And it's like it's.
That's pretty funny. That's a good clarification.
Thank you.
When I started passing clubs, I thought it's like driving on an icy road because you never know when you're going to hit a icy patch and you'll have to make an immediate recovery. And it's just like super thrilling. You have no idea how you didn't drop that club. And, you know, just, you know, I have great memories of those early days.
That's cool. Adrian and Nicole, do either of you juggle?
I can juggle, but I cannot pass. When you said it's like on an icy road, I'm like, yes, I feel that. Yes, I feel that way. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Super thrilling.
Yeah. And I learned it at the High School Performing Arts. I had a Commedia dell'arte class, and that's where I learned it. Oh, but it was hard to learn it because I had a broken arm at the time.
That'll limit you.
So I had a cast. So then, like, I finally got it down. And then once my cast was gone, it was like I had to relearn everything again.
I am so envious of the two of you. Y'all are still going to have the experience of learning to pass clubs. That thrill.
It's been a long time, but I learned. Yeah, we did pass. We did all the monkey rolls and crazy stuff, and that was a fun class. Oh, I loved that class a lot.
So, Adrienne, any circus arts in your at all?
No, I did a mime class at Second City.
Okay, lovely.
The only thing lower on the entertainment. Scale from juggling.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, Adrian, have you been a performer as well as a playwright?
I have. Yes. I did acting camp and stuff. Mostly because as a writer, I wanted to know what actors had to go through, and I thought it would help me.
Do you prefer to write?
I totally prefer.
Do you direct?
I do. I have in the past.
I was like,
year
I think you've been on directing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I did Doper Than Dope. I directed that and Love Me Tender, which is a musical. Mm-hmm. I was directing those. Are kind of first, just me alone by myself directing. And yeah, there's a lot.
So
of
we talked in the main thing that that you're in the main
I like
thing.
That you just called it. I was just the like main the thing. Main thing.
The main thing on the main
on our
stage.
Broadcast.
Well,
you could make
why
it the main event.
Get off the main event.
That you are currently a fellow out in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What do you? So that's another year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Do you know what you're going to do after that? Do you have plans beyond that?
Man, I don't. And I'm like in this text, but I'm like, I don't know what is going to happen to me.
You're going
to
be a star.
I don't know what's going to happen. I want to move out to LA. That seems like a logical next step because I really want to write for TV and film and continue to do theater stuff. I have a play opening out in LA in January. Denim Dubs has a regional premiere with Sacred Fool, so I'm going to go out for that. And it just seems like if that goes really well, the door could be open. If that goes really poorly, then I will pick another place to live.
well you're always welcome back here.
So
the you said that the pilot that you're doing is set in Chicago. Do you have a relationship with Chicago?
I used to live in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for about 4 years.
Did you do theater there?
I mostly did comedy. So I was there for Second City.
Okay.
I was like training. Second City.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. And I did Annoyance and I.O. And yeah. So
I did comedy sports in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
I went to Columbia. Lisa and I both lived in
Chicago. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
You got a show? Are you a Chicago?
You got any Chicago roots?
No. But speaking of the comedy, I always tell people that, like, you go on you know, open mic nights, and you know, you will hone your performing yes. skills. Like the we were just talking about the cat lady, the acro cats are coming into town, and if you know, like just how to have stage presence is just mm-hmm. absolutely key.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and speaking of comedy and open mics, anybody watching the incredible Mrs. Maisel?
Oh, Maisel? What is that? Oh, no. Oh, gosh. I just said it. I love the commercial with her spinning. What's her name?
Maisel, Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel? Maisel,
yeah.
It's no, I haven't seen it, but the commercial
it's Amazon.
Okay, yeah. I've only seen the ads for that, but no.
It's good. I suggest.
I have no idea. Huh. What is it?
It's a TV series about a woman in 1958, the year I was born. That is, she becomes a comic.
And it's, who are the creators? They're, oh my gosh.
It's Amy Sherman Palladino.
Thank you.
Who is the person behind Gilmore Girls.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to figure. Gilmore Girls. And I did. I wondered if you were watching it, so I'm glad yeah. you answered that for it. Me without
I suggest it. Yeah, I binge watched it. So one of the things I like to ask people here, especially those that have been back here and we know everything there is to know mm-hmm. about you already, what are your passions outside of theater or performance?
Well, they both looked at each other like there's a
secret. Who's going to start?
I'm a six-time Ironman finisher.
Are you really?
And, wow.
That's
wow.
pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
That is amazing. So Ironman is a full marathon.
Yeah, they do it in order of likelihood of death. So swimming first.
So it's a mile swim.
Wow. 2.4 miles.
Oh, 2.4 mile swim.
Okay. 2.4 miles.
26 point something miles
of
run.
Running. 26.2 miles of running. You know how they got the distance for, it's not.
Oh, and it's
not,
a century, a bicycle ride, 100
miles. 112 miles oh, my, of okay. cycling. Wow. But the marathon distance was developed because of the London Olympics. They wanted to go by the Queen's Palace,
so they had to add it on.
it's crazy. So
they
like,
had to go by the mall.
Well, right. so that's
down the mall.
That's,
you know, okay.
That is an incredible wow. fact about you that we did not know. So you've participated in six Ironman.
Yes.
Are you going to do more?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Do you train daily? Do you run, bike, and swim every day?
I do something almost every day. And one of the reasons I do exercise so severely, well, it's two reasons. One is to, it used to be to give my rage against society an outlet, but that's all gone now. So now, it's like if I get the flu or something, all I have to do is not exercise and I feel normal, like a, you know, normal amount of energy.
Okay. I think I understand that.
And for running, like it's just a way to take the dogs for a walk. Like I would see people walking their dogs and I'd be like, I never walk my dogs, but I cannot stand a walk. Like I just feel it's a waste of time. So, you know, I started thinking, well, I'll just take the dogs for a run. And so that's how the running started.
Awesome. Mazel tov.
How do you practice for 100 miles of biking?
Well, I've
112.
I've done that several times.
And so I used to think,
looking at you too, like, yeah. whoa.
I used to think it was 100 miles like you, but when you're in the race and you get to 100 miles and you have this feeling of, I'm done. Well, you still got.
Oh no, I knew it was 112. I'm just saying, it's like, great. Even a like how those, do you even
make your body?
So, Adrian, what's your passions outside of the arts?
Outside of the arts. I like to craft.
Do you?
Ooh, what kind
yeah,
of crafting?
I knit, and I mean, love not it. Supremely well. It's just more of like, I'm a Virgo, so like, I like having mm-hmm. repetitive sort of ritual kind of stuff. But yeah, I used to do watercolor. I used to make jewelry. It was just sort of like, it was like, you could just give it a little kit to, and like, I'd be gone for hours, you know, it was that or books. So, yeah, I still do a lot of that. It's still like really fun. I was just trying to think of like, what do I do when I'm not working on stuff? And that is like a really nice, just stress relief.
Knitting is great. I knitted for a while and it's a great stress reliever. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's still art though.
It is.
I don't want to put you on the spot. But,
yeah,
I like cross stitching stuff. Totally. I knit it for, like, I'll go through different crafty phases, but somehow I always end up back. I'm like, apparently, I really like the cross stitch.
Yeah, knitting I kind of always come back to, but I do. Yeah, like I like collaging. Like I just I gather random art supplies and move them across the country, and then I'll get in different moods. You know, just kind of be like, I listen to podcasts or I'll watch TV, and then just.
What do you do with your finalized knit product?
I've been making. I have this a business. No, I. Etsy. Everyone. Etsy. I put them in place. I make costumes. I have a lot of friends who have kids, so I've been doing like little baby hats, and I just stash them, store them away because someone's someone's going to have a kid.
Awesome.
And then I'm prepared.
Oh my God. I bet they're so happy.
Tin caps. Yeah, I made one for my friend and her wife. They have two little girls, and so I made them a family of hats, and that was a really fun project. Yeah,
my mother's an award-winning quilter, and she makes a quilt for every baby that's born in the family, and then
that's amazing.
Quilt for when they graduate high school.
Oh wow!
And, you know, with really a sweet theme of what they're interested in. So she made a musical quilt just and gave it away at our family Christmas.
What was on the musical quilt?
There was The Wizard of Oz. Sorry, I do a show called The Wizard of Dogs too.
It's in your brain.
There was the Nutcracker, and what else was there? Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Not a musical.
It wasn't on it. Wait, what else was there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's plenty.
I bet you probably know better than I do.
That's probably plenty. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Oh, thanks.
And I look forward to having y'all back here again. So have a happy holiday. Merry, merry, ho, 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 and all that stuff.
All right. Who's got a cigarette?
I just found the fourth course for the feast in this dumpster.
Yay.
I think there's a finger left in this bottle. I just saw.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, I could tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I've never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just enough.